All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let us begin. So today's daf is Nun Tes. We are up to the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Beis. Our shir today is sponsored by David Kahana in memory of his father-in-law, Zev Ben Shlomo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. And for the refuah shleima of Cherna Tova, Bas Rachel Leah. So let's begin. Last two lines, Nun Ches Amud Beis, Nisarmalu Onis Garshu. So remember again, right now we are still embedded in the Mishnah on Nun Vav Amud Beis. We're still in the midst of the Mishnah on Nun Vav Amud Beis, speaking about the situation of the Kohen marrying someone who he's not allowed to, and the Shaila as to what point in time she becomes disqualified from the consumption of Truma. So the machlokis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir, who holds that once there's kiddushin she's disqualified already, and between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that it's only after nisuin that she becomes a halala. Then the Mishnah said nis armalu o niskarshu mina nisuin psulos mina iris and ksheros. If these women went ahead and married the kohanim, right, and then so if they were widowed or they were divorced, if they were divorced from nisuin, then they are pasul, meaning they're halalos. If, however, they divorce from Erisin, then they are Ksheros. So says the Gemara, plus a lot of interesting Gemara today. Ba'amine, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Mishmuel. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef asked of Shmuel, Kohen Gadol Shekidish HaSaktano U'Bagra Tachtav Mahu. If a Kohen Gadol is Mekadesh, if he betroths a Ketana, remember, Ketana is a girl below the age of 12, U'Bagra, and she becomes a Bogeres. That Bogeres, remember, is really another name for what? For a Gedola, for an adult, which halachically is the age of 12 years old and 6 months. So once she becomes a Bogeres, Mahu, what is that halacha? Now, both say, the Gemara is coming. This is the next Mishnah. But the Gemara is discussing something amazing. A Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. Now, what the Gemara assumes to happen is the following. That as a girl gets older, her Besulim lessen. Her Besulim lessen. Now, the truth is, the Besulim lessen, what it means is that, for example, there will be less Dam Besulim as the girl gets older. Now, the reason for that is that as a girl becomes more active, by definition again, so the hymen membrane is thinned out. So as a result, there would be less bleeding from the Bia Rishona. So the question the Gemara is asking is, what's the definition of Besula for Kohen purposes? So let's say now he did Kiddushin when she was a Ketana, but then she became a Bogeres, which means again, the Besulim are lessened. So what's the halacha? Mahu, top of Nuntas, Basar Nisuin Azlinon, or Basar Erisin Azlinon. Do we go after Nisuin? In which case, again, perhaps at the time that he's marrying her, she's a Bogeres. And maybe at that point in time, Lemais, again, the Besulim are not fully intact. This is, again, we'll say this is not a result of having relations or anything. This is just the result of just activity and getting older. The Besulim are there, but they're not as fully intact as they were when she was, let's say, a Nara. So do we go after Nisun? And in which case, again, she's a Bogeres. Oh, Basar Erisin Azlinon. Or do we look at Erisin? And at the time he was Ma'aris her, at the time that they did Erisin, Kiddushin, she was a Kitana. Amrle Tinisua. So he said, this really, we learned this in the Mishnah. Nis Armalu Onis Garshu. If these women in the Mishnah, in our previous Mishnah, who are not permitted to marry the Kohen, if they were widowed or divorced, Mina Nisuin Psulos. If he divorced them from Nisuin, so psulos means they're halalos. Mina erisin, but if they were divorced, the widow from erisin, ksheros, they're permitted. Meaning they're permitted to go out and eat shum, and they're permitted to other kohanim. Amarle, l'shavi halala lo kami boili. So the Gemara says, so he answered, remember, this is Rabbi Chiya asking this of Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Rabbi Chiya said, I'm not asking about when they become a halala. The bia he de meshavi halala, because that's obvious. I understand bia is what makes a woman into a halala. Ki kami boili. So when do I have a question? Ki kami boili. Vehu isha bifsuleha yikach. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol must marry a besula. So the Gemara says, my kicha. So what is kicha? Do we say my kicha de kiddushin ba'inon o kicha de nisun ba'inon? So both said the shayla is when the Torah says the Kohen Gadol has to take a besula. That is kicha of what? Is that the kicha of erisin, or is that the kicha of nisuin? Meaning, at what point in time must she be a besula in the marital process? In erisin, or ultimately again of nisuin? The Rabbah say, obviously the nafkamina over here is in the situation of if she's, let's say, a na'ara when he betroths her, with her erisin, but by the time he marries her, she's a bulgaris, which by definition we know physically that the besulim have lessened, so to speak. So the shayla is now, is she still considered to be a besula for Kohen Gadol purposes. Amarle, so he said to him, Hanami tinisua. We learn this as well. Ires es ha'almana, v'nismana lihios Kohen Gadol. If, well, this is actually a very interesting case. Let's say the Kohen Gadol went ahead and did Eresin, no, excuse me. Let's say a Kohen, regular Kohen, called Aaron Kohen, went ahead and he did Eresin. He betrothed an almana, he betrothed the widow. Totally permitted, right? Regular Kohen. He's a regular guy. Not regular guy, chasum, regular Kohen, right? Regular Kohen, he's permitted to marry an almana. And then what happens? Mamish, you know, job promotion, he's promoted to be the Kohen Gadol. There is only one problem, which is he's betrothed to the Amana. So as a regular Kohen, he did something absolutely legal. Now that he's a Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to marry them. So the Shaila is now, but he initiated the process of this marriage. He initiated this marriage while it was still mutter. So what's the status of the marriage? So the Gemara says, very interesting. Yichnos, the halacha is, he is permitted to marry her. He's permitted to marry her. Why? Because since essentially he was married to her at the time that Lamaisa, again, he was the Kohen, that he was a regular Kohen, therefore Lamaisa is permitted to go ahead and carry through on that particular marriage. So the Gemara is trying to bring this as a raya to what? He's trying to say same thing over here. So if he was Mekadesh her when she was a Katana slash a Nara, but Nisuin doesn't happen until when? Until she becomes a Bogeres, granted her Besulin lessened in between Erisin and Nisuin, but apparently that's okay. Apparently what we do is we look at the validity of the marriage when? At Erisin, at the initial stage of the marriage. As long as it was legal at Erisin, even if something has changed over the course of time, Lemaisa is still permitted to go out and marry her. To which the Gemara says, well, that is not a good comparison. I'll tell you why. Shiny Hasam, Dichsiv Yikach Isha. So we'll say it's different over there. Why? Because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that the Gemara is quoting is, Amana Ugrusha Vachalala Vezona Es Eile Lo Yikach, Kiem Besula Me Amav Yikach Isha. Now, what the Gemara is picking up on is like this. This is the pasuk that talks about the fact that the Kohen Gadol must marry a besula. And the phrase the Torah uses is, ki im besula me'amav yikach isha. Only a besula from among his people shall he take as a wife. Now, Bosai, the truth is, that last word, isha, is absolutely extraneous. You do not need that word. All you needed to say was, ki im besula me'amav yikach, period. What's the isha there? Look at Rashi. Shani hasam dechsev isha ki im besulas me'amav yikach isha v'hai isha kra yiseiruhu, and this isha is an extra word. Umine marbinon lekamon bepirkin. And Rabbi said, we will see. We're going to spend a little bit of time in this sugya. He quotes over the Gemara in just a couple of blocks from now. Dim ireis amana v'nismana lihios kohen gadol yichnos. So we'll say, remember, this isha is an extra word. And the Gemara later on is going to use it as a drasha, or for a drasha, to teach me that if a kohen was mekadesh an almana and then became kohen gadol, that he is permitted to still go ahead and marry her. Hachana miksiv isha. But one second, it says, why can't I use that isha to go ahead and include this other case as well? Meaning, just like isha over here includes the fact that the Kohen Gadol, that a Kohen was Mekadesh al Almana and then became Kohen Gadol, is permitted to marry the Almana. So why don't they say over here also that the Kohen who was Mekadesh, let's say a Nara, and then she became a Bogeres, that Lamaisi is permitted to marry her as well? To which the Gemara says, no. Achas veloshtayim. You can't dash in two things from one word. So you can't use one isha. You can't use one word isha to dash in two things. Both to dash in the almana case and to dash in the bogeres case. So the Gemara says umarois. So how do you know? Meaning, how do you know to go ahead and how do you know which case to include? I know which case to include. Meaning, how do I know that isha comes to include the fact that the now Kohen Gadol could carry through on the marriage that he initiated to his Almana wife versus the Bogeres case? I'll tell you very simply. Ha ishtani gufa, v'ha lo ishtani gufa. Because I've also said, the reality is, in the case of the Almana, nothing has really qualitatively changed in the notion of the marriage, right? Meaning, this woman is still the same woman that he betrothed. Nothing's changed. However, again, in the Bokeres case, something has fundamentally changed. Rashi says over here, Ha'ishtani gufa, Bogeres nishtani gufa, mean erisin l'nisuin, amana lo nishtanis. So the Gemara therefore is saying, if Isha is coming to include a particular case, I would sooner include the case where the woman's status is the constant. That's the case of the amana. She was an amana, she he's still an almana, and therefore Isha comes to teach me that as long as the betrothal was permitted, even if he now became the Kohen Gadol, he's still permitted to marry her. Versus the case of Bogeres, where what? He was Makadish her in one state, and now she's in another state. That's not automatically included within the drasha itself. So both say, this discussion is a very good segue to our next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol, now you should know, for the next couple of blot, we're going to be focused on, I believe it's the next couple, yeah. We're going to be focused on Kohanim Gidolim. It's a very, very interesting sugyas. So you must have to find Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, lo yisa almana. A Kohen Gadol is not permitted to marry a widow. All right. Bein amana min ha'irusin, bein amana min ha'nisuin. And above say, this is true, whether she was widowed from irusin or whether she was widowed from nisuin. Velo yisa es ha'bogeres. And the first opinion of the Mishnah rules, he may not marry a Bogeres. Now, both said, the assumption behind that is what? Is because by the time a girl reaches the age of Bagrus, the Besulim are not as fully intact, and therefore, again, it's a lacking in her Besulakite. So, because the Kohen Gadol must go... You never heard that before. Right? And therefore, again, because the Kohen Gadol must marry a Besula, therefore he can't marry the Bogeres. Rabbi Shimon say, no, he is absolutely permitted to marry a Bogeres. And we'll see in the Gemara what the nature of that dispute is. And the Mishnah, as in here in brackets, Velo Yisa es Mukas Eitz. I will say, literally, he may not injure a woman who's a Mukas Eitz. Now, we've spoken about Mukas Eitz before. I'm sorry. What did I say? Injure. I'm sorry. You shouldn't injure anyone. Right? You may not marry a woman who's a mukas. Thank you. You may not marry a woman who's a mukas. I'm also, what does mukas say? Mukas eight is a generic term that means for a woman whose besulim have been ruptured, but not through bia. So mukas eitz literally means like she was injured with a piece of wood. But the injury can happen anyway. Whatever it might be. The point is, there are no besulim, but she's still a besulim. There are no besulim, but she's technically still a bisula. So no bisula, but again, but bia has actually never occurred. So the Gemara says over here, the Mishnah says over here, that the Kohen Gadol may not marry such a woman. Okay, so now we have to define all of these things. Tan Rabbanon, almana lo yikach, bein almana min ha'erusin, bein almana min ha'nisuin. So both say, we learned that the Kohen Gadol may not marry an almana, whether she's an almana from erusin or an almana from nisuin. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Maut, meaning what's the chiddush in that? An almana is an almana is an almana. What does it matter? What does it matter ultimately? Again, what stage of marriage she was widowed from? He's not permitted to marry a widow. Once I'll tell you why. Maut, what would I have thought? Leilef almana mitamar. But saying that's actually very interesting. See, I might have thought that lemaisa we would learn out exeter shava of almana from Tamar. Remember, this is talking about the Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Yaakov Avinu. So the Torah, so Rashi says over here, Mitamar, Shevi Almana. Right? That Yaakov Avinu, remember, this is when Yaakov was trying to, Aaron Onan have already died. She wants to marry Sheila, right? And, what did I say? I'm sorry, Yehuda, thank you. So Yehuda doesn't want to marry her off to Sheila. So he says, Shvi Amana, just wait a little bit, right, until Sheila gets older. So that's the first time, interestingly enough, that we find the word Amana in the Torah. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that maybe we make a gzer shava of Amana from Tamar. Now, both say, now this type of gzer, we're not getting into it right now. So the Rishonim bring down this is not a real gezer shava because lemaisa again we do have a principle of ein lemaiden davar mikodem matan Torah that in general we don't really learn binding halacha from anything that occurred before Sinaitic revelation, which is why things like bris mila, although Avraham Avinu was the first one to do bris mila, we don't do bris mila because Avraham Avinu did it. We do it because it says in Parashas Tazria, ubayom hashini mabasar arlaso. Even things like gid anosha, which ultimately again we have, it's this week's parasha. So all of those things really have a halacha. Obligation created a little bit later on. So the point the Gemara is making is perhaps again, like the paradigm for Amana comes from Tamar. So the Gemara says, "Mala halon minani suin afka minani suin." And I both say, Tamar was widowed from what state? Tamar was widowed, quote unquote, from Nisuin, meaning she was already living with her husband at the time that she was widowed. So lemaisa, maybe Amana Dafka means a case of Nisuin. Kamash Malan, though, Kamasha, the Mishnah comes to teach me that if she's, whether she's an almana from Irisin, whether she's an almana from Nisuin, at the end of the day, she may not marry a Kohen Gadol. The Ema Hachanami. So the Gemara says, well, why not? I don't say, that sounds like a pretty good drasha to me, right? Why don't you say that we learn it out from Tamar, that it's only if she is widowed from, only if she is widowed from Nisuin, that ultimately she can't marry a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Dumya de Grusha, because almana and Grusha, for the prohibitions for Kohanim are, the fact that the Torah, when talking about the women whom a Kohen Gadol cannot marry, links Almana and Grusha together, tells us that the laws of Almana are like the laws of Grusha. Ma Grusha, ben Anisun, ben Amina, Erusin, just like he can't marry a Grusha, whether it's from Nisuin or Erusin, Af Almana, Bein Min HaErusin, Bein Min HaNisuin. So to Almana, he may not go to marry her, whether she is widowed from Erusin or whether she is widowed from Nisuin. Velo Yisa Es HaBogeres. And again, remember the first opinion the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol may not marry a Bogeres. Tan Rabbanon. And Rabbi said, because the assumption is that she is no longer a full Besula, and therefore is not permitted to marry her. Says Gemara, Tan Rabbanon. Vehu Isha Bifsuleha Yikach. The Torah says, when speaking about the nature of the woman, remember, this is in Vayikra Chaf Aleph Yud Gimel, in the Pasuk right before Torah. Remember, the Torah states the obligation for a Kohen Gadol to marry a Besula twice. First it says it in the positive, Hu Isha Besula HaYikach, and then it tells you who he can't marry, and at the end of that Pasuk it says, Kim Besula Me'ama V'Yikach Isha. So what is the meaning of that Pasuk? Hu Isha Besula HaYikach. See, what's interesting is that wording is such an interesting wording. Why? Because it's Lashon of Besula. He shall take a woman who is in her Besula. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Prat, it comes to exclude a Bogeres, Shekalu la Bisula de Ramirez. Ramirez says, Rabosai, Bifsuleha comes to teach you, comes to exclude a Bogeres, whose Bisulim, Kalula means have gone away. Ramirez doesn't mean literally gone away, he just means are not as intact as they were when she was younger. So both say, Rabbi Meir understands Bifsula comes to exclude a Bogeres. Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon machshirin b'Bogeres. Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon, on the other hand, are say that no, a Bogeres is absolutely fine. He can marry a Bogeres. But my community, so what are they arguing about? So you want to understand, what's the nature of the machlokes? Rabbi Meir, Sav, Rabbi say, listen to this. Rabbi Meir says the following. Had the Torah just said, V'hu isha b'sula yikach, I would have said, Afilu miktsas besula mashma. So the word besula would mean that as long as she could identify as a besula in some way, even if the besulim are not fully intact, but as long as some semblance, some remnant of the besulim are there, that's absolutely fine. However, besuleha adika kol besulim. So we'll say, but again, once it says besuleha, besuleha means, this is according to Rabbi Meir, besuleha means that all of the besula must be intact. And what does it, but Rabbi say, it doesn't just say besuleha, what does it say? It says bifsuleha. Right now, bifsuleha is one step further. So again, remember, we'll say bifsuleha, according to Rabbi Meir, teaches me that all of the besula must be totally intact, i.e. she can't even be a bogeres. She has to be younger than a bogeres. And what does bifsuleha mean? What does bifsuleha mean? Bikedarka in bishalo kedarka lo. So Rabbi say, bifsuleha teaches us that what? If you look at Rashi, just a moment, bifsuleha, beis yisera, because now there's an extra beis, because I only need the word bisula to teach me that her entire bisulim must be intact, i.e., that he can't marry a bogeres. So what does the extra beis of bifsula teach me? Demash mahalki the medrash, bimakom bisula dahainu kidarka nivala nifsa la koin gadol, avaba bi'ila shalo kidarka lo, dilamesa bu shalo kidarka leka lemeimar. So also listen to this. So Mary will say that bifsuleha means what? That the only time she is no longer a besula is when there was bia in the area where she has besulin, bia kidarka. But if there was bia shelo kidarka, that does not render her a non-besula. So in Shitas Rabbi Meir, bifsuleha teaches us two major things. Number one, that all the entire besula must be intact. Number two, the only time she's not a besula is from bia kidarka. But if there was bia shelo kidarka, but the besula are still intact, she would still be a besula for Kohen Gadol purposes. V'Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon Savri, Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon held, besula, now again, had the Torah just written besula, so besula shlema mashma. So Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon have the exact opposite inference. See, according to Rabbi Meir, had the Torah just said besula, that would have meant what? That would have meant what? Some besulim. Bifsulaha means what? All besulim. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say just the opposite. And they say, no, the Torah just said besula, stam, unqualified, besula shleima mashma. That would have meant what? Complete besulim. Bisulaha, what does bisulaha teach us? Afilu miktsas besulim. Oh, bisulaha teaches us that what? That even if not the entire besulim are intact, but only part of the besulim are intact, then the ma'aseh is still a besula. And what does bifsulaha teach us? She must be a besula in every sense of the word. Namely, bein kidarka, bein shalo kidarka. She must be a besula from bia kidarka, and she must be a besula from bia shalo kidarka. So Rabosai, this is the fundamental machlokas within our Mishnah. One more time. So according to Rabbi Meir holds that the word besulah teaches me two things. Number one, that her entire besulim must be intact in order for her to be a besula to marry a Kohen Gadol. That's the one which means that a Bogeres could not marry a Kohen Gadol. And number two, it's only Bia Kidarka that renders her a non-besula, but Bia Shalo Kidarka would still keep her besula status intact. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon have just the opposite drasha. They say besula teaches me that as long as there's some semblance, some remnant of the besulim there, it's fine, which means that a Kohen Gadol can marry a Bogeres, but Bifsula teaches me that she must be absolutely a Basula in every sense of the word, both Bia Kedarka and Bia Shalo Kedarka. Amr Rav Yehuda Amarav. So we'll say, okay, so that's the Machlokes. So Rav Yehuda Amarav said the following. Nivala Shalo Kedarka, Psula Kuna. If a woman had Bia Shalo Kedarka, she is Psula Lekuna. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Psula Kuna, Lekoin Gadol. This is referring to a Kohen Gadol. Shemitzuva ala besula, aval lehedjot shelo kidarka, aval lehedjot afila kidarka kshera ve'in zona ela hanif elas lasola. So we'll say, we will see later on that there is another status. So this is about by Kohen Gadol. Now there's another status of a woman called the zona. Oh, who's a woman who's a zona? A zona, now again, not just in the classic terminology. A zona halachically is any woman who has relations with a man with whom she could not have kiddushin. So whatever you could fill in the blank, whatever case that is, such a bia like that would render a woman a zona. Now, again, even a regular kohen is not permitted to marry a woman who has halacha classification as a zona. This case over time is still a kohen gadol. So a kohen gadol has to marry a besula. So what happens if the woman had bia shelo kidarka? So what's her status vis-a-vis the kuna gidola? So Rav says nivelo shelo kidarka psula kuna. So Rav says bia shelo kidarka will passel her for the kuna gidola. Bless you. Massive Rava raised the kasha velo siel isha. The Torah says that, we'll say, this is talking about the case where a man violated a woman. So the halacha is that first he has to pay a financial penalty to her father, and he must marry the woman, and he is never permitted to divorce her. Meaning she could demand a divorce, but he is never permitted to go ahead and initiate divorce proceedings against her. So the Gemara says, "Velo si ali isha, beisha haru'uya lo." This only, of course, applies, let's say a Kohen violated a woman. So under the circumstances in which the Kohen would be permitted to marry this woman, would he be obligated to do so? For example, prat la amana la Kohen Gadol, grusha v'chalitz la Kohen. So let's say the Kohen Gadol violated an amana. So obviously he can't marry her. Or a Kohen Hedyot, for that matter, violated a grusha. See, he can't marry her. So the Gemara says, well, one second, let's analyze this. Now you make it sound like that it's only if it was an amana to a Kohen Gadol. Or grusha v'chalitza. What's the case over here? Ilima b'kidarka, if you say that the Kohen Gadol violated her kidarka, my ear yemishum amana, tefukle mishum dehavyele ba'ula. So I don't understand. If it was bia kidarka and the Kohen Gadol violated her, at the end of the day, he can't marry her. You know why? Because she's no longer a besula. Now, granted, she's no longer a besula because of him. Now, we'll get to that case. That's the case that's called anusas atzmo. We'll get to that case in our next Mishnah. But for now, the Gemara is just assuming he couldn't marry her because at the end of the day, she's no longer a besula. So the Gemara says, furthermore, elalav shelo kedarka. Rather, what do you see from here? It must be that he violated her shelo kedarka, or mishum almana in mishum bu'ulalo. And what? What does the Brisa say? He can't marry her. Why? Because she's an almana. But yet it doesn't say anything about her being a bu'ula. The Rabbi said, now what does that teach you? That bia shelo kedarka does not go ahead and render a woman, or does not take away her basula status. So this contradicts Rava, because Rava wanted to say that lemaisa, Rav wanted to say that Nivula Shalok Kedarkas Psula Lekahuna. Now Rava comes along and says, you see from here, it's not true. That clearly Bia Shalok Kedarka does not take away the Basula status of a woman. To which the Gemara says, Amishum Amana in, Amishum Bu'ulalo, Amabez. Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Meir, he. So both say, this is Rabbi Meir, meaning this Brysa. This price is Rabbi Meir, who said, look at Rashi, Hamani Rabbi Meir, Da'amar Bisula Achu Kobusula Kayaman, Pratla Bogaris, Vayasula Bisula Mu'uti Bu'ula Shlokidarka de Sharia. So we'll say, ultimately, again, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Bia Shlokidarka does not take away the Bisula status of a woman. Verav Da'amar Kerebe Lazar, and therefore, this price, so that seems to indicate that Bia Shlokidarka does not take away a woman's Bisula status, that reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Because remember, what did Rabbi Meir do? Rabbi Meir said, that Bibsuleha teaches you that what? That the only time she becomes a non-Basula is in Bia that occurs in the place where the Basulam is, Bia Shkidarka. But Bia Shalokidarka doesn't take away from her Basula status. And therefore, when Rav said, however, that Bia Shalokidarka will apostle her for the Kuna Gedola, i.e., make her into a non-Basula, the Rav Damar Krabba Lazar, and Rav was holding Krabba Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So Mar says, I Krabbi Lazar, my Yerim Yishim Beula. If that's the case that Rav is holding like Rabbi Elazar, then why do you have to bring up a situation over here? Why do you have to say that she's like a Ba'ula? Tefuk le dehavyala zona. Look at Rashi, Rabbi say, Rav, da'amar psula ki Rabbi Elazar, da'amar le'el bisulaha, miktas bisulum l'rabos bogeres, va'asa bifsula me'ute bula shol kedarka kidle'el, dehavyala zona, va'afila koin hedjot asura. Then Rabbi say, if that's the case, then Lamaisa, according to Rabbi Elazar, this woman should be asura, ultimately alt zona. Da'amar Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar of the opinion, Rabbi say that this is a very dramatic halachic position. If a single man and a single woman have relations, not for the sake of marriage, asa'a zona, he makes her into a zona. Rabbi Elazar, as I said before, this is not the way we paskin. Again, we're going to get into these sugyas. But Rabbi Elazar takes a very strict stance and essentially says that any bia that occurs outside of the context of marriage renders a woman a zona. Amar Rav Yosef, kegon shenivala lebehema. Okay, so we'll say, so now the Gemara is going to get a little bit interesting over here. So what's the situation? Meaning, how do we understand what the case is talking about? The Gemara is suggesting it's talking about a case of where she had the bia with the behema. So the Gemara says, now what's the mila of having the bia with the behema? Now, I don't mean it like that, but you know, what's the advantage of interpreting the case like this? The Gemara says, dahasa mishum ba'ula ika mishum zona leka. Because in that case, Rabbi Osai, where the bia was with the behemoth, so at the end of the day, it actually would render her a ba'ula, meaning she's no longer a besula, but she's not a zona. Why is she not a zona? Because zona is a classification that only comes as a result of bia with people, but not of bia with the behemoth. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says, I don't understand that distinction. Mimarav shach, I ba'ula havya, zona nami havya, vi'i zona lo havya, Ba'ula nami lo havya. So I don't understand what you're talking about. If she's a ba'ula, she should be a zona. And if she's not a zona, then she shouldn't be a ba'ula. Meaning, what Abaye is saying is, I don't understand. Meaning, it's the bia itself that makes a woman into a zona. So if the bia is a real bia, then the Abaye says she should be a zona. If the bia is not a real bia, then she shouldn't be a zona. To which the Gemara says, V'chi tema, midi dehavya amukas eitz shelo kedarka. So maybe you'll say, maybe you'll answer it like this. Maybe bias behema is like a case of mukas eitz shelo kedarka. So again, mukas eitz shelo kedarka would be obviously the typical case of mukas eitz when we speak about it is a situation where, as we said before, the besulim are ruptured through non-bia trauma. We'll call it again some other injury or something else happens. What does it mean, mukas eitz shelo kedarka? It means there was a penetration shelo kedarka, but not bia related. Not bia related, through some other event. So perhaps you'll say that bias behema is going to be just like mukas eitz shelo kedarka. So Marcel said, this is amazing. Imkein, ein lecha isha shekshera lekahuna, shelo nasis mukas eitz ayidei tzarar. So the Gemara says, if you are going to tell me that mukas eitz shelo kedarka, mukas it shalokidarka, which we'll say essentially means that there's a shalokidarka penetration, but not, again, not through bia, but through something else, then no woman will ever be kshir lakuna. I will say, why? Because remember, how did they wipe themselves in the times of the Gemara? Right? With stones. By definition, it's inevitable that at some point in time, that stone penetrated to some degree. To some degree. Therefore, Lamaisa, what you're telling me then is that if Mukas 8 penetration occurs, that's called, if Shalokidarka penetration occurs, but not through Bia, that's called Mukas 8 Shalokidarka. And Mukas 8 Shalokidarka is considered to be like Bias Behema. Then what? The Kohanic marriage pool just went down dramatically. Because virtually every single woman will end up being in this particular category. Ela Amar Rabbi Zeira, rather Rabbi Zeira says, no, what's the case? Bimema Enes. So Rabbo said, the case would be Bimema Enes. Now, what's the case of Bimema Enes? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Ela Amar Rabbi Zeira, Mashkachas la, laha dirav, the case of Rav. The case of Rav, where ultimately, again, where the case of Rav can be found in the following situation. Remember, we're looking for a case of where a woman could be a ba'ula and not a zona. So we'll say the case over here would be a case of where she's a Mima Enes. Mima Enes, remember, is the case of where a young girl was betrothed by her brother or her sister. This is rabbinic kiddushin. Rabbinic Kiddushin, where the mother or brother married her off, and therefore again the Gemara is suggesting over here that Lamaisa, in this kind of case, if the Bia that took place between her and her husband was Bia Shalokidarka, and now ultimately again she refuses the husband. Now remember, when she has this power, this is a unique option over here by this rabbinic marriage, where if she says what, I don't want it anymore, so what happens in the marriage? What happens? It's retroactively voided. Once it's retroactively voided, so what's her status? So her status would be, in this case, she'd be a ba'ula, because of Bia Shalokidarka, but she would not be a zona. Why would she not be a zona? Because Lamaisa, again, there was no normative Bia. So this would be a case of ba'ula with not a zona. Okay, so we're say, all we're just trying to do is we're just trying to find the case that would fit into Rav's categorization, but yet taking into account, which essentially told me that a Bia Shalokidarka passels her without going ahead and making her into a zona. So now the Gemara is just suggesting the one case that could seemingly fit into that category would be the case of Mema Enes. Okay. Amar Rav Sin Bar Chiya, Nivala lebehema kshir lakuna. Now once we brought up Nivala lebehema, so now we're going to discuss that as well. What happens again if she had bia with a behema? What's her status vis-a-vis the kuna? I will say, understand, bia with a behema, with edim and hasra, right, witnesses and warning, is chiyav misa. So this obviously is talking about a situation. Well, we'll see what kinds of situation this could be. But in the abstract, if a woman has bia with a behema, so Rav Sin Bar Chiya paskins, she's kshir lakuna. She's permitted to marry a kohen. And the logic behind that would seem to be, look at Rashi, kshir lakuna, afil lakohen gadol. Now, wow, this is even kohen gadol. Why? He says, demukas eitz ba'amahi, uman d'shar mukas eitz shar labas. So we'll say, remember, this is saying she would even be permitted to a kohen gadol. Now, this is only according to one specific opinion, because there is an opinion, as we saw in the Mishnah said that the kohen gadol is not permitted to marry a mukas eitz. Now, apparently, as we're going to see, there's another opinion that holds that a kohen gadol is permitted to marry a mukas eitz. So according to the opinion that holds that a kohen gadol can marry a mukas eitz, bias behema is no worse than mukas eitz. So the same way that you hold that he can marry a mukas eitz, he can also marry the woman who had bias behema. So the Gemara says, Tayinam Yach, your Bryce that supports this as well. Niv Eles Lamisha Eno Ish, if a woman has bia with a man who's not a man, or with someone who's not a man, we'll define that in just a moment. Afa pi shebiskila, even though there's a chi of skila, meaning if there's edim and asra, kshir lakuna, she is still kshir lakuna, ki asar avdimi. So we'll say, now what is that case of Lamisha Eno Ish? Rashi says, Behema. So if there's Bias Behema makes her a Mukas Eitz, and if you hold that Mukas Eitz, it's Kshir the Kohen Gadol, it's fine. So the Gemara says, Ki Aser Avdimi Amar, when Avdimi came along, he said, Masa Bariba Achas Behislo, there was a situation of a young woman in Hislo, Shahaisa Michabedes es Habayis, that she was literally cleaning the house, Virava Kelev Kufri Ma'achareha. And I'll say literally, she was violated by this Kelev Kufri. Kelev Kufri, Rashi says, is a large rural dog. Klavim Gidolim Shetzaldin Bahen Chayos. So again, hunting dogs. Hunting dogs. But Kelev Kufri means a rural dog. So she was violated. She was violated by the dog Shalokidarko. Shalokidarko. Vechshira Rebbe Lekahuna. And Rebbe said that she was Kasha Lekahuna. Okay? So we'll say, so again, all that's doing is that's affirming what we just said before. We're saying that Bias Behema is like Mukasets. So again, Bias Behema Shalokidarka will be what? Will be like Shalokidarka Mukasets. Or I should say Mukasets Shalokidarka. So the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel Ula Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol. And Shmuel says, no, it's not just that Rebbe said she was Kasher the Kahuna, but rather, what did Rebbe say? She was even Kasher the Kahuna Gidola. Because it will say, Rebbe must be of the opinion that Lamaisa, she's still called the Basula, Bias Behema is like Mukas 8. And Rebbe's of the opinion that a Mukas 8 is permitted to go ahead and marry a Kohen Gadol. So Mar says, 1 second, Bime Rebbe Kohen Gadol Mihava. So we'll say, I don't understand why Rebbe would paskin that she was permitted to marry a Kohen Gadol. Was there a Kohen Gadol at the time of Rebbe? And of course, the answer to that is no. Already at the time of Rebbe, there was no longer a Kohen Gadol. So what does Rebbe mean when he says that she's Kshir the Kohen Gadola? Ela Ru'uya the Kohen Gadol. So we'll say, it's not such a big kasha. What Rebbe was saying was, he's trying to make a point. She would even be, bless you, she would even be fit for the Kohen Gadol, she'd even be permitted to marry the Kohen Gadol. Amrle Rava Mipirkin L'Ravashi. So it's actually interesting. So they change it over here from Pirkin to Parkazia. Miparkazia. So Rava from Parkazia said to Ravashi, Minaha Milzad Amr Rabbanan. Where is this? Where do we know this thing that the rabbis say? Ain zinus la behema. That Rabbi said there is no zinus for a behema. Rabbi said what that means, there's no zinus for a behema, meaning that Lamaisa. First of all, if you look at Rashi just says over here, Rebbe la'achar churban abayis. So Rebbe lived after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, kamadoros, for many generations after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Sof ha'tenoim. Rebbe is the end of the tenoim. Umi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai charav abayis. So basically, Rashi is pointing out over here, Rebbe lived many generations after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Fine. Now back to the Gemara. How do we know this matter, which the rabbis say that there is no zinus for behemo? But we'll say, which means that if a woman has bia with the behema, that lamaisa, that bia is not really significant from a bia perspective. How do I know that? Dichsiv, lo savi esnan zona o mechir kelev. So the Torah says that you are not permitted to bring an esnan zona. Esnan zona means. Let's say a woman is a zona, a harlot, mamish, a real harlot, and what happens? She gets paid for her services. She gets a sheep for that services. You may not bring that payment as a karban. Can't bring the payment as a karban. Or mechir kelev. Mechir kelev means if I trade my dog to my neighbor and my neighbor gives me a sheep, I may not bring that sheep for a karban either. It's considered to be disrespectful to bring an animal that you got as an exchange for a dog to the Beis Hashem. So I can't, now I'm not as worried about the mechir kelev right now. What I'm much more focused on is the esnan zona. However, utnan, and we learned, esnan kelev umechir zona mutarin. I will say, however, let's say you have the reverse, an esnan kelev. I will say, it wasn't esnan kelev. Let's say someone paid the zona to go ahead and have relations with the kelev, to have relations, all right, for bia with an animal. He paid the zona to have relations with the animal. He gives her a sheep. That sheep is permitted to be brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. That's called the esnan kelev umechir zona. Look at Rashi. Esnan kelev. Shem amar adam lazona. Helech talach zeh. Take this sheep, the bali lekalbi, and have relations with my dog. Umechir zona. Shehechlif zona betala. Let's say I have a maidservant who's a zona, and I exchanged her for a sheep. Mutar lemizbeach. These are permitted to be offered up on the mizbeach. Umidishari esnan kelev. Amalav nusin. Now, what's the point? The fact that if a man gives the zona a sheep for the services of having relations with his dog, what do we see from there? That lamai. I mean, we see a lot from there. But what do we see from this case? The fact that animal is permitted. What do we see? Is that lamaisa, that animal does not have the designation of a zona's wage? Why doesn't it have the designation of a zona's wage, of a zona's fee? Why not? Because apparently, beer with the behema is an absolutely meaningless halachic act from a zinus perspective. It's prohibited as bestiality, right? It's prohibited. Again, it's still a punishable offense, but from a beer perspective, it's considered to be irrelevant. So the Gemara says shene emar. Let's just read that once more. Tanan, esnan kelev, the fee that she receives from having relations with the kelev, umechir zona, or if I have a zona as a maidservant and I exchange her for a sheep, those are mutarin. Those are permitted to be brought to the Beis Hamikdash. Shene emar, gam shnehem, because the pasuk says these two things are both refers to the esnan zona, the actual animal that she gets as her fee for her znus, umechir kelev, and that which I exchange for a dog. It's only those things, only those two things that are prohibited. Shnayin below arba, only those two things that are prohibited, but not four things. So it's only those two specific things that are mentioned in the Torah, but the other two converse cases, i.e. the mechir kelev or the esnan kelev and mechir zona, those would be permitted. And Rabbi said, the Gemara proofs from there is, what do you see from here? That lemaisa, again, bias behema is not considered to be a real bia, and this therefore supports the position of Rav Simi Bar Chiya, who holds that nivala lebehema is ksher lekuna, that if a woman has relations with the animal, ultimately, again, she is still ksher lekuna, and not just any kuna, but what? Even kuna gedola. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with this Tanur Rabbanon in Mirat Hashem tomorrow.